successful test of free speech, because everybody else is failing tests, but we've succeeded. We have spoken freely, and you want to support us? Support us by sending a check or money order made out to RVN to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Phone it in to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. All right, so we have with us today Mark Collett. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hello, Patrick. It's great to be back. We were out of touch last week, so I went out for dinner with a friend instead. It was a good dinner, but I like being back here on RBN.
I went out with a friend, too. Maybe I'll talk about that later.
What did you eat?
I had blueberry yogurt. Blueberry yogurt smoothie.
Weak. Yeah. I had all-you-can-eat steak.
I had all-you-can-eat crabs the next day. But you know something? You can't eat that many crabs because they're really difficult to eat.
Well, you can eat a lot of steak. They carve it at your table and they bring around different cuts. So you get sort of rump, sirloin, you get salted beef, you get minted lamb, you get sausages, you get chicken thighs. Oh, it's so good. And I ate and ate and ate and ate until I was literally almost sick. And then I felt satisfied. And do you know what made it better? It was 2-for-1.
Okay, well, I was thinking, all you can eat, that's like until you can't eat anymore. And so the restaurant's just giving and giving until you can't eat anymore. That's kind of like maybe the New York City government and low IQ people who fail tests, right? They just give and give and give until the low IQ people who fail tests can't take anymore. Does that sound familiar? You know where I'm going with this?
I can see where you're going with this. Why don't you explain to the audience what's happened, and I'll give my take on it. Because I think it's important to explain exactly what's happened in this case, and you've probably got a better handle on it than me, but I do have some interesting takes on this.
Okay, so the New York City, I guess the school system, they had a program for educating teachers, for people to get teachers' licenses, some sort of program that led to a teacher's license, and there was a test involved in getting into it. Now, I've taken tests before. Well, the thing is, 80% of white people passed the test, but like 20% of black people tested, or something. A lot more white people pass the test than black people. And the only reason that could happen would be because of white racism. And therefore, and this was 10, 20 years ago, people who took this test much earlier in this century. Therefore, I guess about 5,000 people who failed the test have been given a $1.8 billion settlement. In some cases, this is all the money they would have made as a teacher, and even pension money that they would have received had they only passed the racist test and become teachers, and then gotten up at 5:30 a.m. every morning for the next 15 years and gone into a classroom full of hostile kids who are abusing them. If they had only passed the test, they would. I mean, the rest is easy. Waking up at 5:30 in the morning and going into a classroom of hostile kids and trying to teach them, that's the easy part, right? They took that. They sat in a chair for 45 minutes and took a racist test, and so they are in some cases getting $1 or $2 million each, and that's like an all-you-can-eat buffet. I think something like that. So what's your take on this, Mark?
It's not as good as an all-you-can-eat buffet. It's better than an all-you-can-eat buffet. I'll tell you that. What's my take on this? Well, my take on this is interesting. Now, first thing I'm going to tell you, the take I'm not going to make. If I was sort of an outrage pundit who just gets angry about things and grumbles about things and is always offended by something that's happening and peddles this as outrage, that would be my talking point. My talking point would be, oh my God, this is outrageous. How can they do this? This is scandalous. This is terrible. How could they do this to our people? They're wasting taxpayers' money. This is a scandal. This is unfair. Now, that's really, I should imagine, the take from probably the vast majority of normal people is going to be outraged. The vast majority of normal people are going to be outraged, and there are going to be some mainstream conservative pundits who will also be outraged and will be up in arms. This is the kind of thing that Tucker Carlson would get angry about and make an impassioned speech about. And they'd all say this is bad. So do you know where I'm going to go with this? I'm going to say this is good. I'm going to actually say this is good. And you're going to say, how can this be good, Mark? And your audience might be going to say, how can Mark say this is good? Has he gone mad? Has he lost his marbles? Is he succumbed to old age in his okay. early 40s? But no, I'm going to tell you why this is good. I'm going to tell you why this is good. Firstly, the more things that happen like this, the more normal people get outraged by the system. This is one of the most blatantly ridiculous, nonsensical, and wasteful things that could possibly happen. And this is the kind of thing that annoys normal people, and it wakes normal people up to the realities of the anti-white, pro-degenerate Judeo-American state. So it's good that this will wake people up. That is a good thing. I think we both agree there, Patrick, don't we? It's a good thing it's going to wake people up. But secondly, this cost $1.8 billion. This cost $1.8 billion. And I want the system to collapse. I don't want the system to have endless amounts of money to push their anti-white agenda, to push their LGBT agenda, to push their Zionist agenda. I want the system to run out of money. And in my humble opinion, there can't be many settlements like this. They can't keep doing things like this, or they will bankrupt themselves. They will run out of money. And I think the system's done this, but fundamentally, it's a bad move for the system and a good move for us. These things are so naked. They're so blatant. They enrage normal people to such an incredible degree. But they're also wasteful. They waste money. They waste resources. And it takes the system a step further to its inevitable decay and collapse.
There was, there have been some other, not quite as big, because this one, because I guess there's about 5,000 people who are part of this suit, so even if you divide 1.8 billion by 5,000, I mean, you're still talking about, if it was 1,000, I mean, if it was 1,000 people, each person would be getting like 1.8 million. Even if it's 5,000, each person would be getting an average of about $360,000. Now, if you look at it the other way, there's what's the population of New York? It's 8 million. So you'd be saying the average person in New York is paying, you know, like $222 for this settlement. But of course, some people pay a lot more taxes than others. And so, I mean, even in New York, $1.8 billion is a lot of money. And, but you know, there have been a lot of other outrages, not quite on the same scale, but giving people, well, I think it was in New York, or maybe it was in about five cities very recently, major settlements where they're giving like, $20,000-$30,000 to blacks who had been arrested in Black Lives Matter protests. They had been, well, I mean, very few people were getting arrested. So if they were getting arrested, they were doing something, because they were letting people get off. So you're getting a whole lot of this stuff, and these are it's always racial.
I
share the way you're looking at it in terms of it's unsustainable, because it is unsustainable. The wheels are coming off. One thing is, in terms of waking people up, it's happening so fast and furious that the today's outrage makes you forget about the one from last week. I mean, I could barely remember the rioters are getting compensated. All these people are getting compensated. Meanwhile, do you think the January 6th people are ever going to get compensated? And they weren't just arrested and let go the next day. They've been in, languishing in jail for two and a half years. Meanwhile, the governor of Illinois, the fat Jewish governor of Illinois, has eliminated cash bail for second degree murder. I'm pretty sure up to second degree, at least third degree murder. I think it's second degree murder. So I don't know. I mean, it's completely unsustainable. You talk to people in foreign countries, they don't know this is going on. And you've got all this stuff going on domestically. You've got this, the war in Ukraine, which is falling apart. Everything's falling apart. And I just keep going back to 30 something years ago, the Soviet Union, how fast it went from like Gorbachev being a hero in early 1989 to the whole country disintegrating by the end of 91. What do you think, Mark?
Things can happen fast. Historically, things do happen fast. And historically, you can end up with a system existing one day and it being gone the next day, or there being complete disorder and a revolution. That can absolutely happen. And the system that we live in now is getting dangerously close to the edge. If you look at the American debt, it is spiraling. This cannot last forever. And what we've got here is not one problem. So imagine if you're driving your car. There can be lots of things that go wrong with your car. You can be low oil. You can be low water. You can run out of fuel. Your brakes can go. Your clutch can give in. Your gearbox can start getting a bit rough and give up the ghost. Any one of those things can happen. And some of them are more damaging than others. If you run out of oil or water, that can be absolutely catastrophic. That can be the end of your engine. If you run out of fuel, you just roll to a halt. And as long as you've got functioning legs and money in your back pocket, you can walk to a gas station, as you guys call it, and, you know, get some fuel. That can be done. And everything's fine when you get back to your car and fill up. And this is what I would say with the Western world and with America especially. This isn't just one issue. This isn't just America running out of fuel. This isn't just the car running out of fuel. It's not just the car running out of fuel and running out of water as well at the same time. This is like the car is running out of fuel. It's low on water. It's low on oil. The clutch is giving up. The gearbox is grinding. The windscreen wipers aren't working. You know, the bulbs are flickering in the headlights. It's almost as if everything that could go wrong with the system is going wrong at the same time. And we're heading towards not one problem, but a series of calamitous problems all converging and coming about in a very short period of time, which basically does set the stage for complete collapse, for a complete collapse of the system. And that's how I see it. I see that as a problem that probably can't actually be circumvented, because there's too many things going wrong at the same time. So everything grinds to a halt and things can't be fixed. In fact, when everything goes wrong at the same time, you maybe fix one or two of those problems, but there's so many problems, it's not worth fixing anything. It's not worth putting more petrol in the tank. It's not worth getting a new clutch. It's not worth, you know, tying the exhaust back to the car, because too much has gone wrong. And once too much has gone wrong, you just have to scrap the vehicle and buy a new one. You pay to get it towed, or you push it to the side of the road and you abandon it and you look for another vehicle. And if you're not doing that, well, you know, you've got to choose to walk. But that means you're having serious change. One way or another, there is serious, serious change afoot. And I think that is fundamentally where we are with America. And this is just another major issue. This is like another major thing going wrong with the car that brings it close to this sort of calamitous stop where everything changes. And that's really why I welcome these things. And I welcome them because I can't stop them. I mean, in an ideal world, this would never happen. In an ideal world, this would never, ever, ever take place, because fundamentally, it's scandalous. It's a scandalous waste of money. It's a waste of resources. It's a slap in the face to all the people who pass the test and then have to go and do the job, probably for less pay than they would get if they'd have failed the test and sued for discrimination, even though there was no discrimination. So, yes, this is scandalous. Yes, it will make a lot of people angry. Making people angry in this case, though, is a good thing. And I understand the scandal of it, but I think now we're at a point where, you know, potentially we need this. We need these problems all converging. And the reason I say we need them converging is because if society carries on like it is, but on a slow burn, so say our collapse took place over 1,000 years. 1,000 years is a long period of time, and 1,000 years with slow incremental changes to demographics, you know, sexual norms, etc. By the end of the 1,000-year period, there wouldn't be any white people left. If the collapse happens sooner rather than later, there may well be enough white people. So if they cluster together, they can survive this and they can come out the other side as some form of group that survives. And that's absolutely fantastic. That's what we want to see. We want to see our people survive. And the only way they can survive, in my humble opinion, is if things change whilst they're in sufficient numbers to actually weather the storm as a group. If there's 5 or 6 white people left in America when the collapse comes, you know, they haven't got a hope in hell. If there's a group of maybe 100 million white Americans left, that's a lot of white Americans. Something can come from this. Something can regrow. The garden can be reseeded and everything can be done over. So that's why I look at this and think to myself, there is an inevitability here to what's going wrong. And in many ways, a sooner rather than later policy is better because it means that as the ship sinks, there's enough of us to cobble together a raft and float off and start again. What are your thoughts, Patrick?
Well, I mean, obviously, this you are crossing the Rubicon when you start getting into this type of settlements where you're paying massive amounts of money to people who were never wronged and are thoroughly undeserving, which whether they're rioters, whether they're people who failed tests, or simply California. I mean, California's got this commission that wants to give like $5 million to every black Californian because of slavery in other, you know, in previous centuries in other parts of the country. And, you know, one of the things is it's one thing for the federal government to just burn money because the federal government prints money. And the United States is still the reserve currency. The United States can run these massive trade deficits, massive budget deficits. They just send all this money to Ukraine. And as long as, the people in the foreign exchange markets are willing to just think, oh, well, you know, the dollar is that's the reserve currency. This is where you flee to safety is in the dollar. When there's trouble in the world, you go to the dollar. Then there are no repercussions. But we're not talking about the federal government here. We're talking about city governments. We're talking about state governments, which have to have balanced budgets. They will go bankrupt. Not only that, but in the United States over the past several years, there's been a great deal of internal migration. So I'm not talking about immigrants coming into the United States. I'm talking about people moving from one state, one city.
I I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. But I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Ciroc grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
There's been a great deal of internal migration. So I'm not talking about immigrants coming into the United States. I'm talking about people moving from one state, one city to another. There's been massive amounts. I mean, to the extent where we have a company where you can rent trucks and trailers called U-Haul. And if you want to rent a U-Haul from New York to Florida, you got to pay premium dollar. If you want to rent a U-Haul from Florida to New York, they'll practically pay you to drive it because nobody's going in that direction. So you're having people flee the cities. You're having people flee the states that are run by fat Jewish governors like Illinois, which has eliminated cash bail. I guess I just said that. You're going to have places fall apart. You very well may have certain places fall apart before others. And the last thing I want to say is when you have that, when you have areas where when you have a country where some areas are really falling apart, other areas sometimes decide, you know, I don't want anything to do with this. And for instance, Yugoslavia, how did the Yugoslavia breakup start up? The richer places, Slovenia, which was the most wealthy republic, and Croatia, which was second most wealthy, they didn't want to be part of, what was going on in Macedonia and Montenegro, and Kosovo. They didn't want any part of that. You have the same thing going on for past few decades. The Northern League in Italy, it feels like it's paying through the nose for things going on in Sicily. And even in the EU, I mean, why did the Britons want to leave Brexit, want to leave EU? Well, I mean, part of it was the immigration. That's probably the main thing. But also they feel like they're subsidizing the poor areas. And I think you're going to get to the point where a lot of people who were previously patriotic Americans and are patriotic in the old-fashioned sense might say, hey, good riddance. If we don't have to have these cities in our country anymore, if we can break up, good riddance. So that's what I see, possibly. So I'll kick it back to you, Mark.
No, I think that's a really good take, and I'll say this as well. It's not only a really good take, but it does suggest that some sort of salvation is possible, because what you're actually saying here is pretty similar to me, that, you know, as a collapse comes ever closer, there will actually be almost an oil and water effect, if you like, if you want to call it such a thing, an oil and water effect, where there will be a self-selecting mechanism by which one group of people moves one place and another group of people moves to another place. So you will have large, overcrowded city centres, which I should imagine will be pretty much dominated by people that I would term white liberals, system enjoyers, and fundamentally migrants. And then you will have smaller towns, or cities in white areas, and countryside areas, rural areas. And those areas will be dominated by people that you would describe as, I would say, white, traditionalist, conservative with a small c, not conservative as part of any nationally based conservative, like Ben Shapiro, AstroTurfed group, but actual, decent, normal human beings that you would want to live alongside, that you'd want your family to live alongside, that you'd want to get on with. And I think that is a big issue. I think that we'll see, you'll start to see two things occur. The first will be a improvement in certain areas, and the second will be basically a ruining of other areas. So your cities will become progressively worse because the best people will leave the cities. The countryside will become better because the best people leaving the cities will go to the countryside. And you will see this big, big social divide across those areas. Now, this is the interesting thing. Here in the UK, exactly the same thing is happening. And this is a big caveat. So you tell me about this because I want to know whether this is the same in the US. In the UK, we are seeing an absolutely huge shift of normal people from out of cities into rural villages, towns, or smaller, whiter cities. However, the government can see this happening, and the government is very nervous about this oil and water effect. The government doesn't want there to be any area untouched by the madness. So what we're actually seeing here in the UK is a dramatic shift towards the government sending large numbers of migrants to white areas out in the countryside to literally swamp those areas, so that fundamentally what you're going to get is no one escaping from this. And that's my only caveat. And I don't know whether you guys have that in America as well. I don't know whether you're in the same position where you guys say, well, look, you know, yes, we are having this oil and water effect, but the government is doing everything it can to redistribute people to, the sort of the nicer, whiter areas to prevent.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email proudsouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
But the government is doing everything it can to redistribute people to, you know, the sort of the nicer, whiter areas to prevent, you know, to fundamentally prevent our us sticking together as a group. Because what you're seeing now, I'll give you an example here in the UK. There's a place called Llanelli, and Llanelli is a little Welsh village where they are moving immigrants to at an incredible level. They're absolutely swamping it, and there's big protests in Llanelli, and people don't want, you know, the migrants there, and they're saying, look, we want to be free of these people. We don't want them staying in our local hotels. We don't want them in our town. You know, that's just not what we want. But the government are saying, you're having it. You're having it, and we're forcing it upon you, and there's nothing you can do about it. And I think, obviously, largely, that's being driven by the fact the government don't want it's not actually pronounced Llanelli, it's more Llanelli. It's double L, but that's how the Welsh pronounce it. But it's spelled LL. That's how it starts. If you're going to look it up, it's quite a famous case at the moment because the people are protesting against it. But the thing is, it's pronounced Llanelli. Double L is pronounced that way in Welsh.
Yeah.
So, but what I'm saying is, Patrick, they don't want these little Welsh villages to be free of the migrants. They don't want anyone to be free of the migrants. They don't want a situation where fundamentally one city or one town escapes. Because if one city or one town escapes, there is a very visual and easy to spot sort of a break between different areas. So you might say, well, look, London is 37% white British. I don't want to go to London. But then they say, ah, Clonelly is, you know, 99.8% white. Wow, it's crime-free, it's friendly, everyone knows each other, there's a community there. I want to go and live there. And that oil and water effect for the government is bad because it's contrast. And they fear, fundamentally, they fear contrast. They don't want people to see that multiculturalism doesn't work. They don't want people to see that there's an alternative to multiculturalism, which there is, nationalism. And that's why I think they're desperate to swamp places here in the UK. But obviously you have a different situation in America because you have both state and federal government. And you know, I don't know whether all of the state governments are, you know, working hand in hand with the federal government to destroy their people or to distribute migrants in this way. So maybe you could tell any British viewers if the same thing's happening in the US.
We do have the same. We have all these same trends. And in terms of distributing migrants, the states have very little to do with that. And there have been efforts for years and years to create communities of you know, one migrant group or another or multiple migrant groups in rather unlikely places. So, for instance, Lewiston, Maine, which was in the 1960 census, about 98-99% white, almost entirely white, maybe a few American Indians, they had some tribes there. Lewiston, Maine has a large Somali population. Somalis are big in Minnesota. Why do the climates of Somalia and Minnesota resemble each other? I don't really think so, but there's and so the that Somali lady in Congress, she represents Minneapolis. That's how many Somalis they've thrown there, and apparently there is a fair amount in Columbus, Ohio. We didn't get, you know, even after invading Iraq, usually we get all sorts of refugees from places that we invade, but the Jews didn't really want a lot of Iraqis to come to the United States. To the extent we got them, they were sent to places like Wyoming. They were sent to very white areas. There's a little country in the Himalayas called Bhutan, and I think the people from there are probably very, very nice, although they belong in the Himalayas. But the Bhutanese, they've been, and this is something that is led by partly by the federal government and partly by these NGOs, including the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, but also, you know, Catholic charities and other religious charities. They've relocated these people in North Dakota. You know, North Dakota, again, one of the very whitest states and a state that the migrants would not have picked on their own. It would be very unlikely for them to pick it on their own. So they are trying to spread it out, and not just in terms of spreading out to different states, but the Obama administration had a policy of building, I guess we call it Section 8 housing, low-income housing. It would be apartment blocks, low-income housing, higher density in suburbs, in areas that you know, are predominantly white and reasonably affluent. There was this policy of building types of housing that are likely to become very diverse in these areas. That was a policy. And there was a town in New York, and I can't remember the name of it, but I do remember Mike Enoch and Jesse talking about this because it's near their part of the state. And they had resisted this and were being penalized, like every day having to pay thousands of dollars in fines. Is it to the state or is it to the Department of Housing and Urban Development? But they were having to pay fines. So there is this effort. It's led by the federal government and by these NGOs, and the states don't have a whole lot to do with it. The other thing is the oil and water part. So you've got oil and water in terms of people leaving the Democratic-run states and going to Republican-run states. You've got that. Sometimes, though, they're in a certain amount of denial about what they're doing, and they bring their attitudes. So you have Boise, Idaho. Idaho is one of these states in the Rocky Mountains, and it's become a center of refugees from California, of like white liberals who don't like California anymore because of the diversity, but they can't bring themselves to say that that's why they're leaving. Maybe they say they're leaving because they want better schools or because they're tired of congestion on the not freeways or whatever. They're coming to Boise, but they're bringing a lot of their attitudes. Austin, Texas, which is now one of the biggest cities in the United States, used to be a small city. It was the capital of Texas, but it's huge, and it's become extremely liberal and woke. So you do have that. But one last thing is, even within states now, you're starting to have movements for leaving one state and perhaps either forming a new state or joining another state. And one of the best known is Eastern Oregon, the part of Oregon that's in the Rocky Mountains, wants to join Idaho. It wants to leave. There are many counties, and they're having these resolutions at the county assembly level in favor of leaving Oregon, which is dominated by a few cities along the coast, like Portland and Eugene. And they want to leave Oregon and join Idaho because they feel culturally a kinship to Idaho. There's other places. Southern Illinois has little to do with Chicago and is a lot more similar to, say, Kentucky or Missouri. And yet, because they're in the same state as Chicago, no cash bail there, right? You can commit crimes and be out the next day. So that's what's going on in America. So it is the same. You've got this oil and water natural phenomenon going over, and then you've got the federal government in particular and the NGOs who are trying to desperately keep everything homogenized. Homogenized, but very mixed up homogenized. Not a pure homogenized state, but one where you're shaking up that bottle. What do they do? There are certain kinds of dressing that have oil and vinegar that you don't have to shake up. What do they do? How do they do that?
I think they all have to be shaken, Patrick. They always come with two sort of layers that need to be shaken. But there's
sort of gum in them that keeps them unshaken. I don't know.
I don't know. I've never seen them. Mine always needs shaking. But it sounds that we're in a very, very similar situation. And I think it's because our governments are desperate to ensure that none of us can break free from the madness, that none of us can ever be safe from what's going on. None of us will ever fundamentally be able to break away and say, right, this is our little all-white town, leave us be. The only people who seem to be able to do that are true outsider groups that completely reject modernity, such as, say, certain Mormon communities or the Amish. But I don't think they're going to allow that for normal people. And what I mean by that is people generally look back at, say, like the 1980s as being a golden period. You know, everyone had a decent quality of life. Kids were respectful. They played out. They came in. They watched their cartoons. They had dinner with mum and dad. They did their homework. They went to bed. Things were good. People barbecued at weekends. You know, we want to just have the 1980s, you know, overwhelmingly white. Maybe there's one black in the town, but no one really minds him. He runs his own little store doing whatever, and he's friendly and he's polite. But it's pretty much a homogenous community where we all get on and we all understand each other's values and foibles, etc. And they don't want that to ever happen. They don't want us to ever get that back again. Because if they allow us to get that back somewhere, there's the big problem that others might want it back elsewhere. That if we have it back in our little patch, well, another little patch might want the same thing. And if another little patch want the same thing, then another little patch might want the same thing. And before you know where you are, you actually have a revolution against the system where numerous different groups are all vying two or numerous sort of towns or villages or little, you know, small white cities are trying to break out of the system and want to retain some degree of independence. And I personally think that is going to be something that our, something that our, detractors would never allow for. And fundamentally, it's something that is going to be squashed at every turn. And that's why they call it here dispersal. And they do it under the auspices that it's fair. That if we put all the migrants in one area, there'll be too much stress on the system in that area. So fundamentally, what has to happen is that everybody has to be sent to, has to be sent to the same area. Everyone has to be sent, to different areas, dispersed, moved around, because then it's more fair and it spreads the burden. And we do have what you say. We do have a lot of white liberals now moving out of multicultural areas, and their excuses for moving out are always fantastic. And they never actually relate to, reality. And when I say reality, what I mean is the fundamental truth of the matter, that not even white liberals enjoy multiculturalism, because they see their children suffering. They see the price of their property eventually taking a hit. They understand that they're less safe, but they just won't, they just will not ever, ever admit as to why that is. Whereas we will be very honest and say sort of multiculturalism and mass immigration creates an unsafe, an unworkable and unlivable environment. They will never, ever say that, because by admitting to such a thing, it means that they're wrong. And these people are vile ghouls that will never turn around and say, "Yeah, I got this wrong." And that's the unfortunate part of all of this.
That is an unfortunate part. I often quote Mark Twain, who said, "It's easier to fool someone than to convince them they've been fooled." And then my addition to that is, it's easier to convince them they've been fooled than to get them to admit they've been fooled. That's the hard part, really.
Well, also, you've got this problem as well, that there is a, whether people like to admit this or not, there is a social stigma to admitting why you moved house. There is a social stigma to saying, "Hey, I moved house because the area I was living in is an absolute, crap hole. No one wants to live there. It's full of non-whites, and fundamentally they've changed the character of the area and it makes me feel less safe." People don't want to actually say that. People don't want to come out and say that because there's a social cost to saying that, even though it's true. So you'll have a group of people, 10 different families, all moving, say 10 different families all left London, and they all turned up in the same little, Welsh village or northern, northern town, on the same new build estate, sending their kids to the same school, and they recognized each other. If they actually sat down as a group and said, "Well, why did we all move?" None of them would turn around and say, "Well, we moved because we didn't like the changing demographics." They'll all have a different excuse. "Oh, well, we moved because my wife wanted to get in touch with her, with this side of her person. She wanted to do art, and she needed to go to the countryside for inspiration. Oh, well, we moved because our house prices in the area were fluctuating too heavily, so we thought we'd sell up to avoid the fluctuations. So we moved to the countryside where things are more stable. Oh, why did you move? Oh, well, we moved because little Timmy was always getting into trouble at school and was falling in with the wrong crowd and being picked on for certain things. So we moved for that." "Oh, okay. So why did you move?" "Oh, well, we moved because there was a lot of noise and light pollution in the area." What you mean that big mosque that opened up a few streets away that Wales repeatedly through the day and night and was keeping you? "Oh, no, not the mosque per se, but..." And they would argue that it wasn't multiculturalism. Like, little Timmy wasn't getting bullied at school because he was white. That's just a nonsense. Little Timmy's never been bullied because he was white. Little Timmy was getting bullied because, kids get bullied, and sometimes you get bad kids at school, and that leads to, kids getting bullied. Boom. That's the issue. Why did your wife need fresh inspiration? Well, he doesn't want to say that his wife's been mugged twice on the way home from work, because if he does, people would have to say, well, who mugged her? And if you have to say who mugged her and she has to admit to the race or ethnicity of those that did it, that's an uncomfortable conversation. Why are house prices taking a hit in that area, and why do things look unstable? Well, because migrants have been moved in, and no one wants to, sooner or later, no one's going to want to buy that house she paid £500,000 pounds for £500,000. Why? Well,
yeah, and that's a big deal. And if you don't move out, then what happens? I knew this man. I visited him, and he had a sign on his front door. And it said, trespassers will be shot, survivors will be shot again. But the thing is, he was dying of cancer. Why did he live there? He was living in an area that was completely black. Well, when he bought the house, it wasn't completely black.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details, or visit 3DBunkers.com.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau d'Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
And it said, trespassers will be shot, survivors will be shot again. But the thing is, he was dying of cancer. Why did he live there? He was living in an area that was completely black. Well, when he bought the house, it wasn't completely black. And he didn't move out fast enough. And once you get enough blacks in and there's enough crime going on, you can't you can no longer sell the house and afford to live somewhere else. And he missed his opportunity, and he was just stuck there, and he was dying from cancer. And he's dead now. I don't know what happened to his widow.
And that's the other thing. When you see what becomes of those left behind end up in a really horrible situation. They end up stuck there. And then you get that completely colonized and socially altered part of town or part of a city where there's one white lone pensioner. I don't know if you've seen the film Gran Torino. Have you seen the film Gran Torino?
I've seen that, yes.
Yeah, you end up with Clint Eastwood's character in Gran Torino, where he is the last white man in the neighborhood and everything's changed, but he's holding on because he's missed the boat. He's got nothing left to live for. Why would he have that upheaval in his life? And he just lives it out grumbling.
Yeah.
And that's the situation. Now, look, I do feel sorry. I feel sorry for those people. I do. I feel sorry for those people. I mean, if those people are endorsed the multiculturalism that they're now the victim of, I have then less sympathy for them. But generally speaking, I do have sympathy for people who are trapped in those situations, because it must be awful. It must be depressing, especially if you've seen the area change so heavily over time.
Indeed. There was a and I know you're not a Monty Python fan, but there was a Monty Python animated cartoon, and there was this black dot, and this dot was just bouncing around, and then it bounced into some old neighborhood, and then then you heard some woman's voice saying, "Did you see that? Black as the ace of spades it was. Well, there goes the neighborhood," and then all the houses just they all fall down. But that's about all the time got for right now. Check out that Monty Python if you can figure out how. It's kind of funny. But what's your guest for this week on Patriotic Weekly Review?
The incredible Warren Baylog.
Oh, great. Yeah, Jeremy and I had him on about a few months ago. Yeah, that would be good.
Warren is always, always superb. I always look forward to Warren. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to the show. He's always a good man to have on the show.
Well, that sounds good. Well, thank you for joining me, Mark.
Thank you so much, Patrick, and I'll see you same time next week.
And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
One of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
You can't. can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.